Hello and welcome to episode 179 of the official EstablishTheRun.com podcast. My name is Adam Levitan. I'm one of the co-founders here at ETR. As always, joined by fellow co-founder Evan Silva, and the 2021 NFL Draft is just one short week away. Today, we are joined by a very, very special guest. You know him from The Ringer. You know him from Grantland. You know him from The Athletic. He is a real journalist, unlike those of us making sex jokes on the internet like me. It is Robert Mays of The Athletic Football Show, theathletic.com. Robert, how's it going?
Good. I feel like I'm becoming less and less of a journalist every single day as I shift to more full-time podcasting. I've got to just bone up once a month and talk to someone outside of my house in order to keep those credentials, but they're starting to fade away real slowly.
Oh, it's a great way to live. It really is. The real journalist life is not, it's too professional. Evan, 1 week away. How are you feeling, buddy?
Feeling good. And we got a lot of teams to discuss, so I say we just jump right into it.
Yeah, the idea of today's show is to kind of talk through the draft through the lens of team needs and roster building. So basically, we're going to go team by team with what we think are the best fits, what we think teams should do, try to talk about some fantasy implications, some draft prop obligations as well. By the way, I've been updating the draft props article when I bet some more stuff. The lines are going to move quickly, but again, encourage people to shop and check those out when we tweet. Also, Karain is releasing a ton of stuff about the draft. Just went released his deep dive on the wide receivers, and his rookie rankings are up, and the dynasty rankings are up with the rookies blended into those. Check all those out. Okay. 1, 2, 3. Jacksonville, Jets, 49ers. All widely, almost certainly will be taking quarterbacks. We know those are needs for the teams. We expect them to fill them. I think the real draft, the actual draft, is going to start at pick 4 with the Atlanta Falcons. And they have options here. They could say, hey, we need the successor to Matt Ryan. Let's take one of these top 5 quarterbacks. They could say, hey, we need to take the best available player. Maybe they think that's Ja'Marr Chase. Maybe they think that's Kyle Pitts. This team has really struggled on defense, though. 29th, 24th, 27th the last 3 years in yards per play allowed. Robert, I'll start with you. What do you think the Falcons are going to do, and what do you think they should do?
I think it depends on how they like the quarterbacks and how they have them stacked up. You know, if Mac Jones goes 3 and they like one of those other guys more than Mac Jones, we've talked a lot on our show today with Matt Bowen. We discussed it. Trey Lance just seems to fit what Arthur Smith wants to do offensively. I mean, you can almost see it based on how he played at North Dakota State. So if they like him and he's still on the board, they may see it as a rare opportunity to pick a top 5 quarterback, because in a lot of ways, they're not a top 5 team. Their point differential, I think, was around an 8-18 last year. That's the level at which they played. They just got really unlucky. So this is a chance for a team that I think has a ton of offensive talent to luck into their quarterback of the future when they don't have to trade up for one. These circumstances just don't often come up. So if they like one of those guys, I think they should take one. But that's the benefit to having a guy like Matt Ryan, and in my opinion, having offensive personnel that with Arthur Smith could be a top 10 offense tomorrow. So it's really interesting to see the different directions they could go based on everything and the way that it's set up for them.
Yeah. Evan, I'm curious what you thought about Matt Ryan's play last year. Would you be looking for Matt Ryan's successor if you were the Falcons right now? And by the way, in the betting market, a lot of the betting market right now has Kyle Pitts as the slight favorite to go to the Falcons.
Yeah, I mean, look, Matt Ryan, I think that when you go back and look at what he did last year, I don't think that he showed a significant fall off, but I do think that he's going to have I'm trying to think of the right word here.
A precipitous fall.
A gradual decline, sort of like, you know, Tom Brady's decline, although Tom Brady hasn't even really seemingly even hit his decline phase. But I think with Matt Ryan, he's 36 years old. The key factor here is that the Falcons have a new GM. They have a new head coach, and they do have a quarterback here that they can carry, and they're going to have offensive success. I mean, I think that they're going to be so much better coached under Arthur Smith than they were under Dirk Cutter. They're bringing back their 3 best offensive linemen, and they are bringing back 2 guys that they can plug in Matt Hennessy and Matt Gano at those other positions. I think that Kyle Pitts does seem to be the favorite right now. I think they need to take a quarterback. I think that they need to The plan, first of all, it's hard to get quarterbacks. You have to get one, you know, one has to come available in free agency, or you have to get a high draft pick. They should view this as an opportunity to draft and plan on not drafting in this position for the next 10 years, mm-hmm. because they're almost certainly not going to be in this position entering next offseason. And then they can, you know, gradually move the quarterback pendulum to Justin Fields or Trey Lance or whomever at this number four pick. I think it's a no-brainer as far as I'm concerned. They need to take a quarterback.
Okay, it's going to be super interesting. Let's go to the number five spot, the Cincinnati Bengals. I mean, there's been a lot of chatter that the Bengals, maybe they want to take Ja'Marr Chase and pair him back up with Joe Burrow again. But man, this offensive line situation, in Brandon Thorne's midseason rankings last year, Bengals were 30th preseason. Brandon had them 31st in his offensive rankings. Joe Burrow took 32 sacks. And by the way, I think sacks are mainly a quarterback stat for the most part, and the data has proven that out. But still, it's not good. Their offensive line situation, they should be trying to protect Joe Burrow at all costs. So to me, Penei Sewell remains the right pick, the best pick. But there's a lot of chatter out there that maybe they pass on him. Robert, what do you think about the Bengals spot at five?
I've thought and written about this a lot. I think it's a fascinating conversation about positional value and scarcity and all of that kind of stuff. You know, the quarterback is really responsible for his protection in a lot of situations, but the Bengals go empty more than any other team in the NFL on a percentage basis, because that's how Joe Burrow likes to play. So you have a quarterback who likes to be in five-man protection, and a quarterback, one of his best traits is evading rushers, moving around the pocket, extending plays, and that's going to force him to hold on to the ball longer. So I just think there are factors in play here that would want you to have the best offensive line possible. I also hear the arguments for why having an average offensive line is good enough. We've seen that so many times. I think the way the Bills built theirs is a really good example of that. And now the Bengals, there aren't a lot of sexy names in that group, but they've made additions. Bradley Reiff is a starting caliber offensive tackle. So now you have two starting caliber tackles. Quentin Spain is, you know, a solid guard in some situations. He didn't play well last year, but he was moving around a lot. You get Trey Hopkins back. There's a chance that line is good enough, and that's why they think, all right, let's go get Chase. I still think, though, that it's harder to find good linemen than it is to find good receivers. I know this draft might be an exception to that, but I think over time we've seen that. So if you think that Penei Sewell is a 10-year starter at offensive tackle, I wouldn't let Riley Reiff stop me. I'd pick Sewell at five. I'd put him at guard as a rookie. I'd kick him out to tackle next year after Reef's contract is up. And I would try to find a building block at that spot. I understand both arguments, but I don't know. I just think if Sewell really is that guy, finding that guy at tackle is harder than it is at receiver.
Yeah, the thing that's been interesting to me is through the draft process, and maybe this is just fatigue from it going on for so long, people are like, oh, wait, Rashawn Slater is the number one offensive tackle on the board. I mean, and I've been hearing about this Penei Sewell guy for the last, like, 2 years, that he's the next, you know, great left tackle in the NFL. Evan, what do you think about what the Bengals should be doing at number five?
I think it's a no-brainer. Your second-year quarterback is coming off a torn ACL. He got sacked into oblivion in his first season behind one of the worst offensive lines in the league. And you need to do what you can to support him. You draft Penei Sewell, you plug him in at left tackle, you start Riley Reiff at right tackle, you got Jonah Williams maybe moving into left guard. All of a sudden, you've improved three positions on your offensive line, and now your offensive line is average. If you don't draft Penei Sewell, your offensive line is going to be bad. And I think they maybe should even double down on offensive line and draft another offensive lineman in the second round. Like, fix this problem once and for all. This has been a problem so long in Cincinnati. Today, Peter Schrager of Good Morning Football is one of the better mock drafters in terms of accuracy. He had Penei Sewell number five over the Bengals. I think that makes the most sense.
Okay. The Miami Dolphins have two picks in the first round, number six and number 18. Clearly, once they made the trade with the 49ers, they made the decision to go with Tua. And I think that was the right call, to not just bail on Tua and take another quarterback this year. Now what? Some might say edge rusher. I think, some donkeys will say running back at pick 18 for Miami. But to me, I don't think they're set at wide receiver. I know they signed Will Fuller, and we love Will Fuller here, Robert. Well, we loved Will Fuller until he actually got caught with Peds, which just still tilts me to no end. I can't believe he got caught. But anyways, Devontae Parker, Preston Williams have been productive, I think, when healthy, but injury prone. Like, I don't mind if Ja'Marr Chase slips to them. I kind of like Ja'Marr Chase to help Tua move along in terms of weaponry. What do you think about Miami with at six and an 18?
I think it's six. You take the best offensive player available, the best pass catcher available, whether that's Kyle Pitts or Ja'Marr Chase. You drop Kyle Pitts into this situation. I mean, look at the way that they used Mike Gesicki last year. Majority of his snaps came out of the slot. You could 100% replace some of the tight end snaps they had with a guy like Kyle Pitts. I just think that this team is on its own timeline in a way that I respect and admire, actually. I don't think they're going to sit there and say, well, we signed Will Fuller. Should that preclude us from taking Ja'Marr Chase? I don't think they think like that. So I feel like they should do everything they can to help their quarterback develop. And that's a pass catcher in the top 10, most likely, and then an offensive lineman at 18 or with those flipped. I just think they should continue adding offensive talent. But if you look at the depth chart, I would edge rusher might make sense. But if you look at the ways that teams in this tree have valued edge rusher, I just don't see them spending that high of a pick on an edge rusher if Brian Flores is thinking aligns with what we've seen in New England for so long. I think they feel like they can manufacture it.
Mm-hmm. And that's a great point because, yeah, they can manufacture. They've poured so many resources into their secondary. You know, they had a good pass rush last year, actually. If you look at, like, Sports Info Solutions pressure rate. Yeah. And, you know, they don't have great individual pass rushers, but that's a great point by Robert that Patriots line, they tend to not draft great pass rushers. And even when they get one, like Chandler Jones, they trade him away in his prime. On paper, that edge rusher like would be the Dolphins' number one need, but I don't think that they're going to go just attack that need just because it's a need. And once the idea or the possibility of the Dolphins trading for Deshaun Watson evaporated, they needed to go all in on Tua. They have, and I really like the idea of doubling down at 6 and 18 on two of the best two offensive players available.
Yeah, I mean, Will Fuller is only on a one-year deal, obviously. And I think if Ja'Marr Chase is there, I mean, gosh, you know, we'll talk about this more on Sunday night with Scott Smith. But yeah, I mean, Ja'Marr Chase from a measurable perspective, at least, and production is just, I mean, seems like a slam dunk for the Dolphins there. I think 7 with the Lions is interesting, man. Like, I know nobody thinks they can take a quarterback because they just traded for Jared Goff. They can get out of Jared Goff after the 2022 season with a relatively light cap hit. I believe $10 million will be the cap hit if they move on from Jared Goff. And I don't know what you think about Jared Goff, Robert. Evan and I are pretty low on Jared Goff's prospects going forward with the Lions. So I don't hate them taking quarterback here if they like one of them. Robert, what do you think about the Lions spot?
I completely understand if they were to take a quarterback. In my opinion, they should have anything should be in play for them. They are at square one in a team from a team building perspective. And you've seen that with some of the teardowns they've done, and they can't tear it down all the way simply because of how bad some of the defensive contracts handed out by the last regime actually were. So in my opinion, anything should be there. You should take the best player you possibly can. And I think if you have the opportunity, you should trade back. I mean, this is a spot that you should take every single call, especially if some of those quarterbacks are on the board and you don't want them, to try to get back and add more and more picks. That should be the mindset this team has right now, because it's going to take them a while to get out of this. And I don't know if they necessarily abide by that mindset, though, because I think Goff is an indication that they want to not be competitive right away, but they want to have a functional offense right away. So where the Dolphins were really willing to tear it down, I'm not sure how far the Lions are going to be willing to do that. So how they handle the early stages of what should be a full-scale rebuild is something I'm really interested to watch.
If they don't want a quarterback, I mean, they would be sharp to leak that they want one, because they could get some offers from Denver, Carolina, or all these teams. I mean, they should just leak right now. Hey, we're looking at quarterbacks. I mean, forget Jared Goff's feelings. Just leak it out and then trade back. I mean, they could get a lot of offers for this 7 pick, depending on who's there. Evan, what do you think about the Lions spot?
Yeah, I think that the trade that actually makes the most sense, if one is to happen within two teams that are drafting in the top 10, would be for the Broncos at 9 to leap the Panthers, who could draft a quarterback. I don't think they will, but you know, they could, for the Broncos to jump from 9 to 7, say Fields or Lance or Mac Jones or whatever falls to number 7. The Broncos make that move up the board and trade with the, I'm totally in agreement that the Lions should trade down. They should do a hard, at least 1 year rebuild, I think. Because as Robert said, they're at square one, their talent base is just almost non-existent. You know, they're a team that, as we've been talking about since January, should tank for a year.
Yep. And they, the as Evans alluded to, I mean, their coaching staff does not strike us as the kind that's willing to tank, but we'll see how.
And they've got so many like old football heads like John Dorsey and, you know, Anthony Lynn and Dan Campbell. I don't know if they're going to go through with it, but I think that's what they should do.
No, they'd rather put their face through a brick wall than tank. We know that's not going to happen. Okay. Carolina Panthers. I actually thought the Sam Darnold deal was a good one for the Panthers. I mean, dude is 23 years old. They gave up a sixth rounder in this draft, second and a fourth in 2022. I mean, I think Sam Darnold can play and will play much, much, much better just based on scenery change, personnel upgrades, coaching upgrades, et cetera, et cetera. That said, I don't know if that should preclude them or if it will preclude them from looking at quarterback. Robert, do you think Carolina needs to take a quarterback still? And if not, what do you think they'll do?
It just depends on if they like one of those guys. You know, it depends on how you have them stacked up. And that's why the domino that is the Niners pick is so important here. If they take somebody that's the fourth quarterback on your board and the second or third one is still available when you're picking at eight, that has to change your thought process. So it's interesting because you spend that draft capital on Sam Darnold. And by not picking up the option yet, you're indicating that this is a dice roll. We'll see what happens. And I actually think that's a smart way to handle it because with Darnold on the roster, you don't have to pick a quarterback. And now if you were to miss out on one and you're trading for Darnold after the fact, you're in a position of desperation. Maybe they demand a little bit more. So taking multiple shots here and making sure you come away with your guy, there are worse ways to spend draft capital, especially when you don't have to trade up. If all in, it costs the eighth overall pick, a sixth this year and a second and a fourth next year to get your quarterback somehow out of Darnold and Justin or Darnold and that pick, it's probably worth it. You're never going to think about those picks again. So even with Darnold on the roster, if one of their guys is there, I think that they should do it. I don't think that should stop them.
Yeah.
And I thought it was interesting that they immediately came out and said that they were going to exercise the $19 million option for Sam Darnold in 2022. You know, they don't have to make that decision formally until after this draft. So was that a bit of posturing on their part? I think that that would be pretty savvy if it were. And they wound up taking a quarterback here. But they do have a lot of needs. And, you know, cornerback is a need. Patrick Surtain out of Alabama, I think, would might be in play as early as number eight here to Carolina. But, yeah, I mean, I think it's either – I think it should be either a quarterback or a means of supporting their current quarterback who they allegedly are already planning on exercising the option for in 2022.
Denver,
yeah, tackle is big there too. I think that
Rashawn Slater makes a lot of sense.
If they want to bump Greg Little inside, that is a definite area of need for them, even after signing a couple guys in free agency. So if it's not quarterback, they're sitting pretty because of all the other quarterbacks that will have come off the board.
Yep, exactly. And these lines are gone now, but those Rashawn Slater unders on his draft position were looking pretty good. Denver, speaking of quarterbacks, I mean, Drew Lock, you know, I think he strikes me as like a cool dude. I don't know about winning NFL quarterback though. And they still, I mean, even at nine, they could stick a nine and maybe squeeze out one of these top five quarterbacks, or maybe they try to move up. But I know that the people in Denver probably are hoping for a quarterback here. What do you think, Robert?
That has to be what they're looking at. I mean, they're the one team I think still there with a flashing sign of we need to add quarterback. Now that the Panthers are off that list because they traded for Darnold, the Bears have Dalton, the Broncos are really the only group that hasn't made a move. Even the Patriots brought Cam Newton back, even if that's a temporary solution. I just think they need some competition in that room. And again, like they're just one of those other teams. Depending on how it falls, that guy could just be there, or they could say, we need to go make this happen. And that's the question I've had about the Broncos the entire offseason. Is it quarterback or bust? Or we just need to add somebody to the mix. Now that Darnold is off the board, that list starts to shrink. So if they decide at nine, let's go tackle, let's go defense, let's go best player available, are they now in the Teddy Bridgewater conversation? I just don't think you can go into training camp without another viable option in that room aside from Drew Lock, whether that's drafting somebody at nine, drafting someone later in the draft, or picking up the last remaining free agent that happens to be there in May.
Yeah. I'll be moving to Denver in early July and raising my two sons, as I guess they'll be Broncos fans. I don't know, but I'm hoping that they solve the quarterback situation here, so they'll have something to root for. Evan, any thoughts on Denver's spot?
And because the rest of the roster is pretty strong. I mean, I think this is a team that, man, if they can figure out the quarterback position here, they could win like 10 games in 2021. I really think that they've got explosive weaponry. They got Cortland Sutton coming back. Their offensive line is really good now under Mike Munchak. Their defense is going to be good under Vic Fangio. And I think they've known that Drew Lock is not the answer. They gave him the shot last year. Vic Fangio has been a Drew Lock skeptic from day one. I don't think that Vic Fangio particularly likes Drew Lock. And so I think that, you know, this is it. I think they need to go get a quarterback. I wonder if they might even like be willing to trade up to number four. You know, there was a lot of talk about the Falcons wanting to trade down at one point. And would the Broncos be willing to go up that high? I mean, I think they should be. I really think they're a quarterback away from being a legit playoff contender.
Mm-hmm. That's the thing, okay, though. Which one of those guys is left? If the Niners take the guy you want, then it becomes a different conversation. So it almost feels like draft night might be when we find out how this should go down.
Yo, and, oh, and speaking of which, we got to get Mays on the record. Who do you think is the 49ers are going to take at three?
It's a terrible thing to do to me. I can't imagine it's Mac Jones. And so everyone I've talked to, every single NFL person that I've asked about this, and I asked pretty much everyone I talked to, it's like, what do you think about it? Every single one to a man has said Mac Jones. So, I mean, maybe 8 to 10, you know, coaches, GMs, whoever. And every time I just can't believe it. Everything that Kyle Shanahan has said, just little tiny things I've picked up. I mean, I watch this stuff combing over every single word like a crazy person. And everything he said just leads me to believe they wouldn't limit themselves like that when they don't have to. The Kirk Cousins and the Matt Schaubs and the Jimmy Garoppolos even, those were marriages of convenience. When you have the third overall pick, you don't have to do that anymore.
Except for Ryan. But none of those guys were like super high picks that a team traded up for. You know, Kirk Cousins was a fourth rounder. Garoppolo was a second rounder, you know? So, I mean, this is, I'm with you, but still what you're hearing versus what you believe, you know, we need your prediction here, Robert.
I don't think it's Mac Jones. I think it's Trey Lance or Justin Fields. Yes. I can't let myself believe they did all of this for a guy that just doesn't provide answers on his own. Yeah. I think Kyle Shanahan may be of the opinion that he can create answers for anybody, but why would you make yourself? Why would you put yourself in that position? And I just think that's what Mac Jones does. Even if I like him, I actually like him more than most people do.
The popular rhetoric out there now is like, oh, they just moved up to number three and then they'll figure it out after that. Like, I don't know if I buy that, man. If you're going to spend all that to move up to number three, shouldn't you have a guy in mind? And so that scares me a little bit as someone who's holding a bunch of Mac Jones over 3.5 and Justin Fields at +275 and Trey Lance at +450. But yeah, to me, it's like, if you're going to spend all that and move up, you better know it's not, we'll trade up and then we'll figure it out. That seems crazy to me. It seems like they should have a guy they want. So I don't know. I don't really believe that rhetoric that's going around right now.
My understanding is that no one knows. Everyone I've talked to is that Kyle has the door is closed. It is dark in there and no one is allowed in. So that's kind of my understanding.
He knows, but yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure deep down he probably knows. But when you have that pick and you're sitting in that perch, you're allowed to do your due diligence all the way through because there's nothing that can get in your way. And I think that's how they're handling this.
Of course. Yeah, it is going to be fascinating for sure. Okay, get some teams who don't need quarterbacks. Dallas Cowboys are getting Dak Prescott back. Of course, they picked 10th. They're also getting the offensive line healthy, and this could be a big bounce back year for their offensive line. We know wide receivers are absolutely loaded. I mean, I haven't seen a line on this, but they have to be a huge favorite to take defense here at 10. Robert, what do you think about the Cowboys spot?
I think that makes sense, especially if the linemen are off the board. I would love if Penei Sewell or Rashawn Slater was there if they took him, because they could put him at guard for a year, wait to see what happens with Tyron Smith, and then maybe have the best offensive line in the league again. But the logic would dictate that they would take defense, and this is a good spot. Because of how many teams are going to be looking at offense in the top 10, Patrick Surtain, this junior, is a really, really good cornerback prospect. When you watch him play, he is just robotic out there in a good way. I mean, he is just a perfect technician at that position with testing numbers that I think surprised some people. So if you can get the best corner on the board, a legit top 10 prospect where they're sitting right now, I think they'd have to feel pretty good about that.
Evan, yeah, and they return an offense that should compete to be top five in scoring. And defensively, the only big move they made was swapping out Mike Nolan for Dan Quinn. And So, I mean, they need personnel on defense, and Patrick Surtain, he appears to the Cowboys in like every mock, and as he should.
When Dak was healthy last year, I mean, the fantasy numbers that Dak put up were just absolutely out of this world. I mean, a big reason for that was their defense was getting I mean, they couldn't stay on the field. They were giving up points so fast. I mean, so Dak was getting so many possessions, so much garbage time, so many pass attempts. And so, yeah, I mean, it's just so blatantly obvious they need defensive help. Giants pick at 11. And by the way, there's going to be three straight NFC East picks. We know Dave Gettleman loves the hog mollies. We know he refuses to trade back. I've actually seen speculation on wide receiver here, maybe if Devontae Smith falls, but I don't know. I think that Galladay, Slayton, Shepard, Evan Ingram, Saquon Barkley, I think that's really good. Like, I don't think wide receiver is necessarily a priority unless you absolutely love Devontae Smith or Jalen Waddle, whoever is there. So I don't know. My instinct would be they go back to the hog mollies here for the Giants. What do you think, Robert?
I feel the same way. I was looking at this last night after seeing a bunch of mocks with guys like Devontae Smith or Waddle going there. I'm like, am I losing my mind? Why? How could you possibly justify this? With a Kenny Galladay contract, it's not as if it's the Will Fuller deal where it's 1 year at $10 million. They invested a lot in Kenny Galladay. The combination of Galladay, Sterling Shepard, and Darius Slayton is a really nice collection of pass catchers. Like, that is a good group. And you have Evan Ingram, who's not really a tight end. You could do a bunch of different stuff with him. I just think when you look at some of the numbers, I want to say Daniel Jones had the highest pressure rate allowed among quarterbacks with at least 350 attempts last year, 30.3% of his dropbacks. And they did nothing to address the offensive line. It's not like there are some underwhelming free agent additions that they brought in. It's nothing. So I just have to imagine if there's somebody they like there, that's the position that they have to go with. Because if this is all about this year specifically, a make or break year for Daniel Jones to find out if he is the guy, I think you have to do everything in your power to eliminate every possible excuse from the repertoire. And in my opinion, that involves making his protection better because it was not very good last year and hasn't been since he got there.
Yeah. And his issues with ball security are so bad. He needs actually good protection. Evan, any thoughts on the Giants here at 11?
I think that I totally agree with you guys on these wide receiver takes for the Giants. I don't understand them at all. You bring in Kenny Galladay, you give him, you know, you paid him a lot of money. I'm not sure that any other team was willing to even come close to what the Giants paid him. He comes in, you're pushing Sterling Shepard into the slot where he is at his best, and you're making Darius Slayton number two where he is at his best. And you've got multi-tight end flexibility now with, well, assuming that Kyle Rudolph is going to be able to play, Evan Ingram and Kyle Rudolph. You know, I don't understand the wide receiver selections, the Giants at all. I think a guy like the guard / tackle out of USC, Elijah Verrat Tucker, would make a lot of sense here. And you actually, you know, Mays said, you know, they didn't do anything to upgrade on the offensive line. They actually got worse. I mean, they got rid of Kevin Zeitler. So, yeah. And they're just like, oh, yo, Nate Solder, kick over a right tackle. We'll use you there. And Nate Solder's like, yeah, I might retire. So, I think the Giants have to go offensive line here.
Speaking of the NFC East, the Eagles have traded down. They will be in the 12 spot. And man, I live here in Philly and everybody is like still tilting over the Eagles selection of Jalen Reagor over Justin Jefferson last year. And there's going to be another riot here in Philly. People are going to be so upset if they don't go wide receiver again, depending on who's the board, of course. And I kind of agree. I mean, to put Jalen Hurts out there with just Reagor and Fulham and Greg Ward and Dallas Goedert, like, I don't think that's enough to give Jalen Hurts a really fair evaluation. I don't know if they're going to go wide receiver. They certainly have a ton of other holes as they continue to get older and they've struggled on defense so badly. So yeah, I think Eagles could go a lot of different ways. It just feels like they made a mistake, or they think it looks like early returns that they made a mistake with the Justin Jefferson, Jalen Reagor thing. Do they double back down and take another wide receiver in the first round here? What do you think, Robert?
It's so depressing to have taken a receiver in the first two rounds in 19 and 20 and have receiver be maybe your most glaring need.
Yeah.
And I think that really speaks to where this team is. I mean, some of the moves they made were what you would consider finishing touches, trading for Darius Slay, even the Javon Hargrave contract at a position that you would probably call strength when they signed him. And I just think that the core is rotten here. So you could look at their depth chart and just say, well, we need another receiver. Maybe that's what we should do. I think they have to take the long view on this. And I think they already have started that. You trade Carson Wentz, you get the draft capital there. You trade back out of the top 10, you get the draft capital there. I don't know that you should be plugging holes on the depth chart if you're the Eagles right now. I think you should be looking for as many building blocks as possible to plan for the next era of Eagles football after some of these aging veterans have been priced out, get released or traded after this season. So I don't, positionally, I don't even think it really matters that much. I think they should just say who is going to be the best player for the next 5 years, because we're really starting over in a way that I don't think enough people are talking about right now.
Yeah, I think there's upside in Jalen Hurts, but I still think on paper, this is the worst team in the NFC East. I mean, I think Dallas is better. I think Washington's better. I think the Giants are better. So yeah, I agree with just taking the longest view that you can. And I try to think about everything that way. But yeah, Evan, what do you think about the Eagles spot at 12?
Well, as a Jalen Hurts 100-1, then 80-1, and then 66-1 MVP better, I am hoping that the Eagles just do something to help him. Hopefully Jalen Waddle. Jalen Waddle would be my ideal addition for them. But man, as we get closer, I think that Jalen Waddle is going to go earlier than people think. I mean, I've seen him in mocks done by analysts that have historically accurate track records. I've seen him go as high as number 7. And there have even been some whispers that he could go ahead of Ja'Marr Chase. And, you know, we talked about that possibility on the Matt Friedman draft prop show. If you were going to pick one wide receiver that could usurp Ja'Marr Chase, it would be the speed guy. You know, the speed guys get bumped up, whether it be John Ross or Henry Ruggs. And the speed guy this year is Jalen Waddle. And he's actually plus 600, I believe, to be the first wide receiver selected. So, you know, a little bit of long shot odds there. But that's what I'm hoping for. But I'm increasingly skeptical that he's going to be available for them at number 12. And maybe they'll end up with Devontae Smith.
Yeah. I added a draft prop around Jalen Waddle, the 11.5, under 11.5. And so there was 12.5s out there. I missed that, but I still took the under 11.5 on Jalen Waddle. We'll see on that.
You take a 5'9", 180-pound receiver in the top 10. I cannot do it.
It hasn't worked out very well historically.
If you're going 7th overall, you need to look like Julio Jones. Like I maintain that. It's just crazy to me.
I mean, I'm no scout, but to me, Jalen Waddle over Ja'Marr Chase would just be absolutely egregious. I mean, that would be.
There's another prop up on DraftKings right now. It is, I think it's under draft specials or player specials. And it's just which Alabama receiver will go first, Jalen Waddle or Devontae Smith. It's both at minus 112.
Yeah.
I mean, I hammer Jalen Waddle there.
I would take that too. Absolutely, I would. Because it's precedent. I think Smith being as small as he is, decision makers and GMs are going to look at that and they're not going to want to be the guy who goes out on that ledge. I promise you that even if the speedsters have not worked out, you can see it. You can understand what that guy is on an NFL field. Devontae Smith requires so much more imagination than that.
Be careful tweeting stuff about size on Twitter, Robert, because I've been looking at this for a long time, and receivers under 185 pounds just are not, don't finish as top 10 fantasy wide receivers. But if you say that, the responses are all, well, if you feed him a cheeseburger and he gets the 185 pounds, well, then you'll say he's going to be a top 10 fantasy wide receiver. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah, obviously the really poor nutrition and weightlifting program at the maligned University of Alabama, where they have very few resources. I don't know, do you think that he didn't lift weights in college? Like, I don't understand this. He's not coming from UAB. He's coming from the most storied program in college football. I'm sure they did some stuff to put some weight on him.
My point is always that people are overconfident in their ability to identify outliers. You know, I mean, if I every time, totally. Every year, it's, oh, this guy's the next DeSean Jackson. This guy's the next Tyreek Hill. You know, whatever. Like, no, more often, this guy is going to be the next Tavon Austin or whatever undersized wide receiver we were promised to be the next Tyreek Hill or DeSean Jackson. So,
or UAB, man. Didn't they, like, lose their football program?
I think they might have. I kind of feel bad about roasting UAB all over.
All right, let's run through the back these next ones a little bit quicker here. Chargers are at 13. I think they could use offensive line help. They could use defensive line help. I don't think this is going to be a sexy pick at all, but they obviously have a home run with Justin Herbert. Any thoughts on Chargers at 13, Robert?
I absolutely could see them taking a tackle here. You know, they did a good job to add Corey Linsley and Matt Filer in free agency. Again, they need a starter there. They don't have a reliable left tackle. I think they want to keep Justin Herbert healthy. You look at the pressure numbers for him last year. They are not good. So yeah, that should be the number one priority. And we'll see what Brandon Staley does on defense. And they were in the Kyle Fuller sweepstakes because I still think they need another outside corner. And I want to see what they do at their other edge spot, defensive line. So I'm really fascinated by what they are going to be and the types of players they're going to want under Staley in this regime. But I do think tackle makes the most sense of any of the positions on the board for sure.
And they have a talented team, I think really promising, you know, talent, a lot of young talent, but they have like glaring needs. Like they absolutely need help for the left side of their offensive line. They absolutely need, you know, a bookend for Joey Bosa after letting Melvin Ingram walk. They absolutely need help at cornerback. So they should be able to knock out one of those needs here.
Evan, 14th pick, you have them taking Christian Darrisaw. I think they can use either at guard or at tackle. Seems like it's a clear need for the Vikings there. What do you think about what the Vikings are going to do at 14?
I'll go. I guess Vikings, yeah, offensive line. You know, Rashawn Slater would be just a dream come true. Mm-hmm. I don't think he's going to make it there, as we've discussed. I think he might go in the top 10, might go as early as number 8 to Carolina. Christian Darrisaw, I thought it was interesting. Peter Schrager's mock today, he had Jalen Phillips, who has become a really hot name over the past couple weeks. He crushed his pro day. He's drawn comparisons to Joey Bosa. I think that he would be an interesting fit there too. And also J.C. Horn, the cornerback out of South Carolina. The Vikings could still use additional help at corner.
Well, let's go to Robert for the 15th pick, New England. I mean, to me, this team needs almost everything, quarterback, wide receiver, like everything except for tight end, I guess, after they just went absolutely ham on tight end in free agency. I think it's really interesting how they're going to play this. How long a view can they take with quarterback? How do they evaluate trying to trade up? What do you think about what New England's going to do, Robert?
The trade up for the quarterback is going to be the biggest question. Do they feel like they need to come out of this first round with somebody? If not, I don't know if they would look at wide receiver and think it's an immediate need to go get Kendrick Bourne and Nelson Agholor. And the idea that they're probably going to live in 12 personnel this year. I mean, I would almost guarantee you that they lead the league in 12 personnel usage over the course of the season. I mean, we're going to see a lot of empty, I would assume, with James White, just the weird stuff that they typically like to do because the lines blur with their offensive personnel. So if they don't pick a quarterback here, I would not be surprised if they went defense. You know, that's an aging defense. Yeah, I think that they love versatility and depth in the secondary. They're starting to lose that with some of these guys that are getting a little bit longer in the tooth. So I think in the back seven or something, or quarterback would be my guesses. But I do think that the way they spent in free agency frees them up a little bit. The glaring holes on this roster are less and less, especially after compared to what they would have been 2 months ago. And I think that's the nice part about spending in free agency, is that it allows you a little bit more flexibility in the draft. So for them, there are more spots on the board positionally than there might be for some other teams in my mind.
Yeah.
I was thinking maybe Micah Parsons out of Penn State. He might be a guy that, because he's a three down linebacker, like off ball linebackers that can affect the game in pass coverage and make plays in pass coverage. Those are the guys that are worth top 15 picks as off-ball linebackers. And I think that he's a guy that people think that can be that.
Oh, he's big and he blitzes. And that's the thing about them, is when you look at a guy like Dante Hightower, or even Van Noy, they have those guys that are off-ball, but also pass rushers in certain situations. And that's the selling point for Micah Parsons. So they could absolutely see him as the heir apparent to Dante Hightower, possibly, and what he does for that defense.
Yeah, I like that for sure. Micah Parsons is a beast. 16, Arizona. I mean, the fantasy football community was afraid that they would go running back here, but then they go and add James Conner to be their big back on a very cheap $1.75 million deal. I think that preserves Chase Edmonds a little bit. So now what? Cornerback? I think they have a need at tight end likely, but I don't think Pat Freiermuth goes this high. Evan, any thoughts on what Arizona needs at 16?
Well, they only have two like good picks, 16 and 49. They traded away one of their twos in the DeAndre Hopkins deal, and then they traded away their three for Rodney Hudson. And this is considered to be like one of the, like a really shallow draft, like a record low number of prospects are even eligible for the draft. And it's supposed to just fall off a cliff like after the fourth round. So they've only got two really legitimately useful picks. They need to use them on positions that are going to make a difference. I think that they really need help at perimeter cornerback. They need to keep Byron Murphy in the slot. They've got Robert Alford and Malcolm Butler, both 31 or older, as their two perimeter cornerbacks. Man, you cannot go into an NFL season with Robert Alford and Malcolm Butler as your starting outside cornerbacks.
Yep. Okay. 17, the Las Vegas Raiders. I wouldn't expect anything too sexy from them, really, though it's hard to predict what Gruden will do. Cornerback, you know, right tackle, safety, pass rush. I could see anything happening here at 17. What do you think about the Raiders spot, Robert?
I think the defense is still a need, even with the money that they've spent. You could look at several different positions back there. Safety is still a concern. You know, do they want to add some pass rushing pop even after signing Ngakoue and some of the stuff they did on the interior? I could see that. But right tackle is now an issue. And that's kind of the problem with this team, is that it's whack-a-mole for needs. It was all defense until you cut your entire offensive line, and now you need an offensive lineman. They just feel like they're chasing their tails, and that's why it could be either side to me. So I still think defense is the number one consideration because of how bad they've been, but they absolutely have a glaring need at right tackle. And this is the range where some of those tackles could possibly be available if you believe what some of the mocks have seen, and where, you know, a guy like Tevin Jenkins, for example, somebody that could add some physicality. This might be where the run on that second run, stretch of tackle starts to happen here.
Yeah, this was why them just giving up, pulling the ripcord on Trent Brown, because he got hurt a few times last year with no internal replacement ready. I mean, they can't truly trot out Brandon Parker again at right tackle, can they? I mean, the human turnstile. So, I mean, and then at left guard, you know, they're, Richie Incognito's career is always hanging by a thread. You know, they've got this center that they're replacing Rodney Hudson with, that who's like, he's never played. And it's just, again, you know, as we've talked about a couple times, like putting so many chips into Tom Cable's basket, you know, just betting on Tom Cable to develop these guys, that's risky business.
Well, the good news, though, is that they spent $11 million on a backup running back. So that's taken care of. So you don't have to worry about it.
Oh, but they're going to play him at wide receiver.
In the first round, oh, so you got to supplement him. You know?
Running back in the first round, you better be sure to spend $11 million on his backup. I know. He's going to play wide receiver. My God. Okay.
Just Washington, like Lynn Bowden. We saw how that worked.
We're skipping over Miami. We already talked about them at 18, 19. I mean, there is not a clearer need, I don't think, than the Washington football team needing a left tackle. I mean, it seems like a desperate situation. But I don't know what you think about the Washington football team, Robert. I think that this is one of the most underrated teams in the NFL right now. I think they could have legit maybe the best defense in the league, if not top three. And I like what they've done on offense. I mean, Curtis Samuel, McLaurin, Gibson, Logan Thomas. And we're fans of Ryan Fitzpatrick here. Are we too high on Washington, first of all, Robert? And second of all, I mean, it seems like they almost have to find a tackle here.
Full disclosure, you know, this is Adam Levitan grew up in the Washington area, and his fandom is being rekindled. So I'm
the wrong guy to talk to if you want me to throw cold water on the Washington situation, because I just love the way that they handled this offseason. I'll be curious. You know, there's been a lot of talk about how they'll use Curtis Samuel. Are they going to have him as an outside guy? Are they going to put Humphreys in the slot? Does that make Samuel a lesser version of the guy we saw last year? If they move Samuel inside, could receiver be in play here? A guy like Rashad Bateman to kind of bring that entire group together. So that's something to watch. I know they don't want to roll with Cornelius Lucas as their left tackle. That should probably go without saying, but he is a swing guy. He is a career swing guy. And it feels like there are going to be options here available. Something I've talked about with a couple different people is that this tackle group, arm length is a concern, especially if you get a little bit later into the draft. Sewell and Slater are both not, they don't check all the boxes arm length wise, but guys later in the draft have the same concerns. So they're going to be teams that we think about in the 20 to 50 range that could draft tackle, where they're not even going to want some of these guys because the way they're built. So I think that's something to take into consideration with a team like Washington and others. But I would agree. I think that left tackle is a spot of need for them. And I love what they've done defensively, because defensive regression is a real thing. And you have to do what you can to stave it off. And going to get a guy like William Jackson, potentially being able to play more man and have a little bit more variance to the way that you play, I think is the way that you can do that. So I, on both fronts, I think that this is a really good team set up for success, and that left tackle is really could help put them over the edge in terms of being a real bona fide playoff team this year.
Yeah.
And not to make the whole show about Peter Schrager's mock, but we're getting close to the finish line here. And I like to talk about people's mocks that have a history of having successfully accurate mock drafts. In today's mock, Peter Schrager had Travis Etienne going number 19 to Washington. Now, everybody, you know, threw up their hands. Oh, they're never going to take a running back at number 19. And I don't think they will either. But I think that that is an indication. And there have been like just increasing, there's been increasing buzz that Travis Etienne is going to go higher than people think. And he's the type of running back that teams can justify being not just a running back, but, you know, we view him as a playmaker, you know, that sort of guy, because he caught a bunch of passes and he was electrifying in the passing. I think he averaged almost like 12 yards per reception in his career at Clemson. So, you know, that's not a player team connection thing, but that is an indication that I think that he's going to go higher than people think. And right now, if you look at the odds, Najee Harris is considered the favorite to be the first running back drafted. I've been hammering Travis Etienne to be the first running back drafted at plus 150, and you can get him under 35.5, which I think is an absolute lock. Then you even get some equity high in the second round if he falls out of the first. But yeah. Travis Etienne, I'm hitting that hard to be the first running back drafted.
Yeah, that line has been coming down. When I first read about it in our props article, it was plus 225, then it went to plus 175. Now it's down to plus 150, so the market is starting to get on that NTN over Najee Harris stuff. We'll talk about Najee Harris more here in a second. The Bears, Evan, the team you just took down with Fantasy Mansion, check that pod out if you guys want to hear more about how bad the Bears franchise has been bungled. But anyways, we know they tried to get free agent wide receivers. They were linked to Kenny Golladay. Maybe they go wide receiver here. And there's some guys who, you know, are actually of size, of prototypical size, they could get Kadarius Toney or Terrace Marshall or something like that at 20th overall. What do you think about wide receiver for the Bears, Evan, at 20?
Yeah, I mean, they went after Golladay, whiffed. George McCaskey seems hell-bent on getting rid of Anthony Miller. He hates Anthony Miller because he got into a fight with Chauncey Gardner-Johnson. And I mean, if they, you know, I mean, they're running out of talent all of a sudden at wide receiver. They can't get the deal done with Allen Robinson. Darnell Mooney was a nice pick. You know, Ryan Pace, to his credit, he's had some nice, like, you know, day three picks over the course of his GMing career. But I mean, that's just not enough. I think they need to go receiver here. Rashad Bateman out of Minnesota.
Yeah, that's another good one. Rashad Bateman for sure. As well, the Colts, Robert.
Mays is a Bears fan. We got to get his take on the Bears.
Okay, go ahead.
Oh, I think they could be anything. You said they're running out of talent at wide receiver. I think they're running out of talent in a lot of places. And that's the dirty secret about this team, is that people talking about Russell Wilson and putting them over the top and all this other stuff. This is not a good roster. There are so many holes on this roster. Right tackle is a huge hole. Corner is still a hole, with Desmond Trufant being not a solution over there. I feel like there's so many different places they could go with this pick justifiably. And that speaks to just the health and the lack of health that this team has top to bottom. So I think tackle could be in play. I could understand receiver, and I could understand them going somewhere in the secondary, either safety or corner, because there are serious needs at a lot of different places on this team.
The Colts at 21, I think we can skip over this one. I don't think it's going to be too interesting. I think they need an Anthony Costanzo replacement who has retired. And Carson Wentz, you know, here in Philly, he held the ball so long. I mean, Carson Wentz needs protection. It could be defensive line also. But I'm more interested in, Robert, what you think about 22 with the Titans. I mean, they were 25th in yards per play allowed last year, but they need weapons, man. I mean, they lost Jonnu and they lost Corey Davis. So I know they added Josh Reynolds, but I've heard wide receiver here. You know, you can make a case maybe for tight end if you like Freiermuth or something like that. You can make a case for a pass rusher or a corner. What do you think about the Titans spot at 22? I think it's an interesting pick.
It's funny because they're now post the period where they were loaded. Like, their chance to really have the best roster possible has passed. And they kind of flipped their defense, right? So last year, it was all the money in the secondary. They had the most expensive secondary in the league. Now you go pay to Bud Dupree. It's starting to change. Now they have holes in the secondary. So I think the back seven absolutely could be a consideration. Receiver could be a consideration. The one thing I'll say about the Colts, I think that if they're playing the board correctly, and my understanding of what teams are thinking, is that they think they can get a tackle in their second round versus not being able to get a pass rusher. So if they flip those and they went pass rusher tackle, I wouldn't be surprised by that approach. But I do think they know they need to fill both of those holes quickly and thread the needle in this draft. But with Tennessee, again, I think the receiver could be an option, even though they signed Josh Reynolds. But defense to me is still the glaring need, even with some of the additions they've made on that side of the ball. I mean, this secondary is not NFL ready. I think that goes without saying.
Yep. Okay, let's skip over the Jets, who obviously need everything. Go to 24, Evan. This has been the talk of fantasy land. Jerry Dulac, who we know has covered Pittsburgh for a very, very long time. Ed Bouchette, you know, they kind of have an old beat. Their beat writers are just are banging the drum for them to take a running back and establish the shit out of the run. Now, I mean, this team is not prepared to run the ball effectively. Ben Roethlisberger is on his last legs. I mean, to me, running back Najee Harris here at 24 would be an absolutely egregious pick. The reporters are convinced, man. They're saying if they don't take a running back in the first round, they're going to take one in the second. What do you think about all these rumors, Evan, around running back in Pittsburgh?
I mean, you know, you put Najee Harris behind the Steelers offensive line, all of a sudden he's going to turn into Benny Snell. So, you know, let's not do that. I think they should double down on offensive line. Their offensive line has disintegrated over the last two off seasons. And I mean, they need two new starters on the offensive line. I think they should take one in the first round and the second round.
Robert, please tell me that you haven't heard from actual credible people that Pittsburgh's going to use the 24th overall pick on a running back.
I have not talked to that many people about this just because it's completely inconceivable to me. I just don't know. Benny Snell was ranked last in the NFL last year in yards before contact per attempt. He was getting hit in the backfield every single time he touched the ball. And I think it's coming from a lot of different directions. Their offensive line isn't very good. Schematically, that team was not set up to run the ball. Their run game was disgusting to look at last year. So from a bunch of different directions, a running back is not going to solve this. I said it yesterday. Adding a running back and thinking it's going to solve your problems here is like buying new tires for a car that doesn't drive. It's the wrong order of operations. It would make absolutely zero sense. I don't think any team should take a running back in the first round. I just wouldn't do it. I could understand an argument if you think it's the finishing touch on an otherwise strong roster. Yeah. This team is nowhere close to that.
In the NFL, you think you're putting the finishing touch on, and I know I've said this before, but the Chiefs thought they were putting the finishing touch on with Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Next thing you know, Patrick Mahomes is running for his life in the Super Bowl. Like, you just never know.
It's a bad way to think about things. You should never do that, but I understand how some teams get there. The Steelers shouldn't even start down that road.
Right. Jacksonville. I've seen some people, and I think Mike Clay mentioned this, mocking wide receivers to Jacksonville. I don't know where that coming from. I mean, Marvin, they gave money to. Chenault, they spent draft capital on, and I think he was a pretty big hit in year one. DJ Chark, I think, can still play. To me, it's more secondary. It's more offensive line for Jacksonville at 25. Robert, any thoughts on where Jacksonville is going to go? Because this offense could be exciting, I think.
One of those things that it's difficult to understand because it's a new regime. You know, you look at guys like DJ Chark or even Laviska Shenault. I mean, these guys are brought in by different leadership groups. So you don't know what Urban Meyer and his staff is going to feel about these guys. I mean, the only receiver they picked was Marvin Jones, and that's a one-year deal. So it does feel like we're going to get a little ahead of ourselves with the Jacks. Because it's Trevor Lawrence and because it's Urban Meyer, we're going to want to accelerate this process more than we should. I think that they should be similar to the Lions in that let's pick the best player. Offensive line is really the only position group I think that looks healthy on paper. But even with that, Cam Robinson's on the franchise tag. If you think that you need a left tackle of the future, this is your chance to get it, pick one. So this to me is a team that's more starting over than it might seem like on paper because we're getting caught up in the Trevor Lawrence, Urban Meyer aspect of all of this.
Yep. Okay, let's go to 26, Cleveland, Evan. There's talk Cleveland, I mean, as a Super Bowl contender, and they go out and they get Clowney to play opposite Myles Garrett now. They're getting Odell Beckham Jr. back. We know the offensive line is loaded. I mean, on paper, Cleveland Browns are absolutely loaded. It seems like a best player available type spot for me at 26. What do you think about the Browns, Evan?
Yeah, you know, we called the Bills our Bills last year. Can we call the Browns our Browns?
Okay, we can change. Sure.
Maybe.
I'm wearing my W.
We'll think about it.
If you guys are watching on YouTube, I'm actually wearing my WWSD, yes. What Would Sashi Do t-shirt. Shout out to Sashi.
That's amazing, man. That's awesome. No, I had pass rusher down as a big need, and then they signed Jadeveon. They've got a sick roster, dude.
Yeah.
They've got a sick coaching staff. I think they could try to open things up with Baker this year a little bit. He played really well in the second half of last year in his first season in the new system with no offseason. and he's 40-1 to win MVP. I had to sprinkle a little on that. No, I mean, dude, their roster is sick. I mean, I don't know, Maze, do you think that they have a glaring need? Maybe I wouldn't be surprised if they took a wide receiver, I guess, maybe.
I wouldn't either. I think that this might be Jarvis Landry's last year there when you look at price tag and everything else. And maybe
Beckham too.
So yeah, both of those guys. I would, so receiver wouldn't surprise me. I still think in the first round, I'd probably go defense. And I wouldn't rule pass rusher out. This is a team that was looking at Jadeveon Clowney as an option before free agency even started. And I still think that they're going to be looking hard at pass rusher because that's the way to split the difference. You have a really good rotation with Clowney, and this pass rushing group is not a ready-made group. It's going to take a little while to come along. So if you take one on top of having Clowney, you have a really stacked rotation this year, but you also are developing a starter across from Myles Garrett for the future. So I still think defense here, but I wouldn't be surprised if they took one of those kind of gadgety impact space receiver types in the second round.
Yep. Speaking of receivers, the Baltimore Ravens pick 27. I mean, everybody wants them to get wide receiver help, big wide receiver help for Lamar Jackson. There could be options here. I mean, we mentioned Rashad Bateman already, Terrence Marshall, Kadarius Toney, I think are all options. And yeah, I want to see Lamar get better weapons too. I don't, you know, Evan and I have gone back and forth about quote unquote fake Hollywood Brown for a while now. Yes, I know he's referring to Hollywood, Florida, but still. What do you think about 27 and the Ravens? And do they desperately need wide receiver help, Robert, for Lamar Jackson?
I would love to see them draft somebody like Rashad Bateman. I just think he's a really good player. I cannot justify Kadarius Toney. I need them to take a receiver that's more than 5'11". I need them to take a receiver that's taller than me in this draft because that's one of their issues. They have all these tiny little guys, and that's how they've built this group, and they have zero physicality. Yeah. So Bateman makes sense to me. I also, when I watch Creed Humphrey play, the center from Oklahoma, I just imagine him in this offense. They do a lot of similar stuff. We've seen them pick a lot of Oklahoma guys lately. I think they have a need at center. So I could, defense makes sense, or offense makes sense to me. I think interior offensive line or receiver, I could see either in this situation.
I can't believe you just outed yourself for grinding center tape, Robert. This is big time team, no sex there.
Maze is like a high key offensive line aficionado. I mean, he's sitting here watching the end zone view, right? You watch the end zone view, right?
I do. I don't know exactly what I'm watching, but I do like to watch them all and get a sense of them. So,
dude, watching that though, man, you see how like violent it is in there. Like dudes are fighting. I mean, they're literally punching. And when you're and tossing, you know, bodies are like 350 pound bodies are flying all over the place. It's kind of wild. I can't watch it for too long, but you know, when you do watch it, you see some things you definitely don't get on the TV copy.
You can't watch offensive linemen from any other angle. Like you're just not going to see it. If you think you're watching offensive linemen from the broadcast angle, you're lying to yourself.
For sure. Okay. I'm going to skip over the Saints and the Packers here as we're running out of time. I don't think that's too interesting, but Buffalo, I had a back and forth with a couple Bills beat reporters who are saying that they should take a running back, Travis Etienne, and the whole idea of a luxury pick and everything. I would prefer our Bills stay away from running back. Obviously, this roster still is very, very, very good. I think they'll have plenty of options. They don't need to take running back. What do you think about 30 in Buffalo? What do they need to get over the top and be able to beat the Kansas City Chiefs, Miz?
I would still love to see them go defense here. I think their offensive line, they retained a lot of those guys. I think edge rusher, you know, for both a succession plan with Jerry Hughes. Also, they rotate their guys. They do not play more than 60%, 65% of the snaps there with anybody. And I do think that they need another body up front. So that would be my first choice. And I think that you could argue that they need more depth in the secondary. Running back would be disappointing to me. When you consider how close this team is, I would love to see them strengthen a strong part of their roster rather than thinking that running back is an answer for them.
I do think that this might be ETN's floor, though. I mean, if he were to come here, I don't think anybody should be surprised if they took him at 30. I'm with you on pass rush in particular. You know, I think they felt like they had to take AJ Epenesa last year in the second round just because he fell so far. But, man, I mean, he's just not an explosive pass rusher. And their defense, I thought, was a disappointment last year, primarily because they didn't get enough pass rush. So if they could come up with a like Gregory Rousseau or something, who seems like his stock is falling, or, you know, for whatever that means, I think they should jump on that opportunity.
All right. We'll finish up the two Super Bowl teams here. Obviously, if anybody who watched Super Bowl knew that Kansas City needs offensive line help very, very, very badly. Robert, what do you think the chances are Kansas City can get an offensive line starter here. And do you agree that this is just such an obvious glaring need for them at 31?
I do. I think the moving out for both of their tackles, they would be well served to try to find one here. And there should be options available. This is, by all accounts, and people knew a lot more than me, think this is a deep offensive line draft. So this is the right time to need a starting offensive tackle at 31, which you don't say a lot of the time. It's hard to find really quality players at that position when you're picking that late in the draft. So to me, it's a no-brainer. If they like one of the guys there, that is should be the pick.
Yep, for sure. Okay, last one we're going to do, Evan, is the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Everybody is coming back, as we've talked about a bunch, although Antonio Brown has not signed yet, but all starters are coming back. There's been some, you know, light whispers that maybe they could take a developmental quarterback, maybe Davis Mills from Stanford or something like that. I think that's unlikely, but you have to think at some point they're going to need some plan if Tom Brady is ever going to retire, which at this point seems unlikely. He's just going to play till he's 60, but whatever. What do you think the chances are, Evan, they take quarterback, and or what do you think Tampa Bay does at 32?
I mean, they're returning 22 of 22 starters from a Super Bowl champion team, so they can just do whatever they want to do here. You know, they don't have a single glaring hole, I don't think. I put in my first mock, like a week and a half ago at this point, I put Travis Etienne here, but then Giovanni Bernard signed with the Buccaneers that night. And then so anybody who read my mock after that tweeted at me, "You idiot, they signed Giovanni Bernard. Why would they take Travis Etienne?" So just wanted to put that out there for the haters and losers.
Any thoughts on Tampa before we get out of here, Robert?
I would love edge rusher. Jason Pierre-Paul, I think, had the highest snap rate in the NFL among edge players last year at like 88%. He's getting older. I know he loves playing that much, but I think filtering those guys in and out a little bit more, I think Shaq Barrett was at 77%. Again, good way to stave off defensive regression, just injecting new blood into a high value position like that.
Yeah, for sure. Okay. We've said it all. In an hour, we have covered just about all 32 teams in the NFL, except for the Rams, who, of course, will not have a first-round pick yet again. I believe they're going to go 7 straight years. They're scheduled to go without a first-round pick, but they are on Team Sex, if you saw their house that they will be drafting from in Malibu. This was awesome. Robert, tell the people where they can find you on social, where they can find your podcast, et cetera, et cetera.
I'm at Robert Mays on Twitter, and we do the Athletic Football Show 3 times a week. So come check us out till the draft. And then we're doing a live draft show you can find on YouTube and on Twitter starting halfway through the first round next Thursday with me and Nate Tice. We're doing it live in person, which I'm very excited about. It's been a long time since I've gotten to do something like that. So if that's something you guys might be interested in, come join us. It's going to be a good time.
Cool. Okay. We'll be back on Thursday with a rare offseason solo pod. And then Evan and I will be back Sunday night / Monday with Scott Smith to do an official mock draft. Scott and Evan will be drafting against each other to make our official final mock draft podcast. So for Robert, for Evan, for producer Luke, I am Adam. Good luck, everybody.